Welcome to another exciting episode of NIDS Knowledge, this one being Real Space Strategy Edition. This podcast is produced by the National Institute for Deterrence Studies, where we are advancing peace, promoting stability, and helping you to think deterrence. Each week, we will inform you about the latest in space strategy and its importance to our national defense. Well, welcome, everybody, again to Real Space Strategy. I'm your host, Chris Stone, and with me is a good friend of mine and someone that I've worked with on again, off again for about 13 years, and that's Jim Cooper. He's the lead space situational awareness solutions guy at ComSpoc Corporation. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what ComSpoc is. And so welcome, Jim.
Hi, Chris. Thanks. How are you doing?
Swell. So to set the foundation here of the discussion for folks, what is ComSpoc? I know it's a big acronym, and I guess just, you know, a short history would be good, where it is, why it started, and what does it do now?
Sure. Thanks for the question. So probably the best way to describe it is ComSpoc really is a young company, if you were to perceive where we started out, but with a long pedigree. So our SSA technology has continuously evolved over 30 years, mainly because we started off as a business unit within AGI, Analytical Graphics Incorporated. And so we were a business unit there doing sort of the SSA work as part of AGI. And that was created in 2014, but obviously AGI has been around for 30 plus years, and AGI was already working on, you know, a variety of different types of tools and everything like that. So ComSpoc was created to sort of manage the space domain awareness and space traffic management involved enterprise level challenges, right? That's why we stood up as a business unit in AGI in 2014, because we just recognized that these problems of sort of SDA and STM at an enterprise level needed a dedicated effort, if you will. And so those challenges are kind of outside the traditional use cases of AGI's flagship products, you know, like STK and ODK Systems Toolkit and Orbit Determination Toolkit. So we stood up in 2014 as a business unit, but sort of leveraging, you know, that AGI expertise. And then in 2020, ComSpoc, the business unit, actually spun out from AGI to become our own corporation. And so we became an independent entity in 2020, which, again, kind of makes us look young, right? We've only been around now for four-ish years. But again, you know, from an actual historical standpoint, from a legacy standpoint, we have a long pedigree. So today, what do? Today, we offer sort of a unicorn in the world of space domain awareness and space traffic management. We offer an enterprise level on-premise operations center that enables you, the customer, to obtain SSA independently, securely, privately. At the same time, our SSA solutions, our capabilities are the most collaborative available.
Yeah, so I guess for those who are wondering what ComSpoc stands for, doesn't it mean Commercial Space Operations Center, or does it not mean that anymore?
So it did when we were a business unit under AGI. That's kind of a little quirk. When we were a business unit under AGI, we had stood up as an SSA unit under AGI. We had stood up this thing called the Commercial Space Operations Center. When we spun out, we just decided to make that our name, if you will. So yes, I guess you could say it's still kind of sort of stands for Commercial Space Operations Center, but today think of it just more as the name of the company now at this point.
Okay. So is there still an actual center that does solution plotting and things of that sort, or is it more of a spin-off of like software tools and stuff like AGI used to with like satellite systems tools?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. We still do sort of, it has morphed over time. We still do sort of an operations center type of operation, if you will. We've got, you know, our operational instance of our software. We have an operations crew that manages that enterprise level instance for supporting operational customers with space traffic coordination services, space flight safety services. And they're definitely still doing all of that same stuff that we used to do when we were part of AGI. Now, things are a little bit different today because obviously everything is web-enabled and guys work from home more than they used to. So it looks a little bit different. We do still maintain a center, if you will, given that we spun out of AGI. You can still come and see our headquarters at Exton and see this quote-unquote center. We had to move into a new building when we spun out and all that. So yeah, the idea of the center is still there. We definitely still have operations crews that maintain an operational instance of the software and support customers operationally. But also, our real business model is to sell our software to our customers and equip our customers with that software so that they can do sort of the same job our own operations crews do for our customers that we provide spaceflight safety services to.
Yeah, so I remember back, I think it was maybe, 2010, 2012, somewhere around there, before all these space situational awareness sharing agreements from the government side, there was a push from the commercial industry to kind of do their own thing because they didn't feel like they were getting sufficient conjunction avoidance information, especially after the Iridium Cosmos and some other collisions and things popping because they don't passivate, you know, like the Russians don't passivate their upper stages very well.
Yeah.
And so I remember we would start chatting and have meetings about some of this to try to share more with commercial sector. And I remember Space Data Association was one of those big first early pushes for that. Is ComSpock related to the old SDA? Or are they still around or are they part of your organization now?
Yeah, no, definitely. They are totally still around as a collective consortium, if you will. Sort of, you know, that little bit of history you provided, that's exactly what SDA was stood up to do. If you remember, the DOD did begin doing sort of this SSA sharing program. There was a pilot program that was started back in the 2004 timeframe, and that eventually became normalized and operational and permanently authorized by Congress. Having said that, the service that they stood up was good for certain uses. People can go to spacetrack.org, you know, and get a registration there and look at catalog information and look at associated two-line element set information and so on and so forth. And there was a level of spaceflight safety that was being provided and continues to be provided by the DOD today as a result of that. However, there were those entities that were looking at the service and kind of reflected on the need for the next step, if you will. They realized that they needed something a little bit better, a little bit more robust, a little bit more accurate. And that caused several of the operators at the time, several of the owner operators, to come together and form this consortium called Space Data Association to start, you know, sort of helping themselves, if you will, manage the whole spaceflight safety process. And when they formed, this was in 2010, when they formed, they brought on, at the time, AGI. Again, we were the business unit under AGI. Mm-hmm. And today it's still us now as ComSpock, as an independent entity. But they brought AGI on board as their technology partner and the operator of its space data center. So you got Space Data Association, SDA, and then you got the Space Data Center, which is where they kind of have their technology partner, us, ComSpock, manage their spaceflight safety. And that means that we're pulling in, you know, we pull in their owner operator data from these various companies and their maneuver plans. And we combine that with DOD provided information. And we do a little bit more upscale, a little bit more timely, a little bit more robust, more accurate spaceflight safety service for them than they would get just from the DOD itself. So yeah, they're still around. They've been around now for 14 years. And we've been their technology partner in operating the space data center for them right from the get-go, basically.
So it's kind of like a fusion center of information that the commercial sector is kind of collecting on their own. And then you combine it with what the DOD, maybe soon Department of Commerce, would share if that happens.
Yep.
I'm curious, though, with space, with all these you know, private sector companies, ComSpock and others, is there too many SSA SDA entities trying to be the lead? Or is there a good working rapport between all the commercial SSA SDA kind of folks? Or is this something that the government, you know, needs to be more oversight like with? Because I've seen people say other things. Like I had Kevin O'Connell on a few episodes back, months ago actually, and he was very much for leveraging and integrating commercial solutions into the Department of Commerce push to take over from the DOD the more conjunction avoidance, space safety, space traffic management kind of role. Or they have a new name for space traffic management. I forgot what they call it. But anyway, he was very interested in that. And of course, the government is kind of leery of that. So in your mind, is there too many, or is there just enough, or how do you see that?
Yeah, I don't know that it's really about the number of entities that you're scratching at there a little bit. It's more about how well they collaborate. And I think you said something, you know, is there a good rapport and everything like that? So I think that definitely can be improved. I think what we want to do is really, you know, try to achieve, you know, an effective flight safety system. And this is something that OSC is kind of on the hook for, Department of Commerce, Office of Space Commerce, and you know, we need these SSA, SDA, space traffic coordination. That was the one that you're looking for. STM is kind of morphed into space traffic coordination, STC. We want those entities to work together on standards and governance, and we want them to do that rather than operating in silos. I think there's still some siloing going on. You know, that's something that OSC is getting after for sure. You know, but are they there that, yeah, I don't think they're there yet. I think that's going to be an ongoing work in progress, quite honestly. I don't think you ever get there. But that whole idea is just to make sure that those entities are working together on things like standards and governance and working together with that good rapport that you're talking about. If they're doing that, I think that, you know, you don't really worry about how many there are as much as you do just making sure that the ones that are out there are collaborating effectively.
Yeah, I know U.S. Space Command and Space Force folks have been saying for several years now, I mean, they started talking everything from mission licenses and all sorts of other things to be able to track and kind of have some of that governance piece tied into this. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on how the Space Force is approaching their military side, because obviously one of their big arguments is we want to kind of pull away from this, you know, service to civilians and commercial sector and let them take care of that while we take care of the military threat monitoring and security aspects of that. There are a lot of people in Congress and other places that think that the Space Force isn't approaching that problem very well, and they're trying to use old methods. And I know from talking to Kevin O'Connell, he's concerned that there's still too much of that old government mindset, if you will, on that. Yeah, we must have control over this, or should we buy the service? Is there an opinion that you have? And obviously, you're probably not speaking for ComSpac in this respect, but is there a view of how Space Force is approaching it in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am speaking for ComSpac. I think when I say this, I can say it. Our perspective really on this, I think, is that we believe we're pretty convinced based on some of the operational testing that we've gone through, the verification, various demo efforts and everything like that. We're pretty convinced that the commercial SSA /SDA /STC solutions that are out there, there's a bunch of them that are mature and they stand ready to help U.S. Space Force and Department of Commerce with its problems. And we think that there's, you know, an optimal mix, if you will, of government and commercial capabilities that could be brought together to greatly improve government awareness and knowledge of the space domain. I think the government is getting after that, right? I think there's some things that have been put into play here recently, like the DoD commercial integration strategy and the U.S. Space Force commercial strategy that are you know, starting to plug away at some of that, right? You gotta get the right paperwork into place and the right, you know, all of those bases have to be covered. And I think they're getting there. In fact, I think the DoD document even talks about a balance of commercial and government capabilities. But definitely, I think if they do this smartly and if they leverage the existing commercial algorithms that are out there, the data fusion capabilities, the metric observational data coming off of commercial sensors, that would help them free up, you know, their government capabilities to accomplish the task that they really need to work on, right? The threat. And everybody talks about the threat today and how quickly it's advancing. And, you know, you can hardly go a day without seeing some new article in the news about that. So they want to. I think that's been communicated. The DoD wants to be able to focus on that. And they can. At the same time as they help to bring together and OSC, Department of Commerce, OSC will have a hand in that too, sort of establishing what does that spaceflight safety regime look like and what's that right balance of government and commercial capabilities, right? Yeah. I will say that, you know, from our perspective, we think that the current roadmaps and some of the proposed milestones that we're seeing – to get this done aren't moving as fast as they could. I mean, you think about SPD3, came out in 2018. We're 6 years down the path from that. We'd like to see, you know, some faster movement on that. Again, I think the strategies help on that. I think the DoD strategy says something about making sure you achieve integration, you know, prior to the crisis. You want to get these things done now with commercial. You don't want to wait till you're in the middle of the fight, so to speak, to be doing that, because that will be not well optimized and create all sorts of problems. So we'd like to see some faster movement, I think, for sure. We're pretty convinced, like I said, that there's a right balance here, if you will, to use the DoD term, or optimal mix, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. But we need to commit to getting that done now, and we need to move forward now and get this done and integrated before these conflicts begin. Because if we're in the midst of it, obviously it's going to be too late really to go down that path.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of busy then. I'm just curious, you know, as sort of a tag on to that, there have been other people who have been arguing that what the commercial sector is creating and doing, you know, beyond the standard old school element sets, that they have even a better way of tracking and modeling and all that good stuff. It's even better than what DoD has. I don't know if you have an opinion on that, if that's a legit argument or if that's just sort of, you know, hey, we're trying to show how great we are so you can use our stuff.
I would answer that. I think absolutely we have capabilities that can help, right? I don't think that anybody out there is saying, oh, we can do the whole job for DoD. DoD should be able to rely on us 100% or anything like that. Again, I think that we think that there is a balance here and a mix to be had. We agree with the way the DoD integration strategy lays it out, that there's got to be a balance on this. I think the U.S. Space Force strategy talks about a hybrid architecture here. I think that we've got capabilities that we know that can help. They're TRL-9. You know, they're operating in the field today, supporting entities like Space Data Association. We're ready to help. We want to help, and we can, you know, we can help them move fast. We can help them, you know, be able to wean themselves of some of the things that they don't want to do anymore, so that they can, again, sort of get after that threat. Right? I mean, I suspect that, you know, like with commercial remote sensing, for instance, and satellite communications, probably a high percentage, maybe, of the SSA and SDA mission areas could be achieved with commercial capabilities, and doing that by blending and fusing that with government data and capabilities, again, sort of an optimal operational picture could be achieved that would support, you know, the DoD from a national security perspective, that could support Department of Commerce and OSC from a space flight safety perspective. I think the message there is that the commercial guys we're ready to go. We're ready to help. We want to help. We get that the movement is happening, that the government is going down this path. We're just, you know, I think everybody's kind of chomping at the bit and thinks it needs to move faster. I think even guys in the government would say that. But again, you've got things that need to get into place. You got cultures that need to be, you know, changed. That kind of change obviously doesn't happen overnight. But I think they're getting there. We're just, you know, we're hoping it'll move faster.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff we've been talking about for the last few minutes here have been all, you know, close to Earth orbit kind of stuff. And I know that because of a lot of the reporting, open source reporting from intelligence agencies and even the Chinese themselves, is that they're doing a lot out in cislunar area. And I know that there have been a lot of people in Congress and the private sector even that have been advocating for more space domain awareness in cislunar and even Earth, even in lunar vicinity. Mm-hmm. And I know that some government agencies that were interested, I'm hearing rumors that a lot of that was being kind of reined back in. Some of them are still trying to push forward, but is ComSpac or the commercial sector related to ComSpac? Are they looking into the cislunar area for solution sets, or is that a capability that you haven't quite got to yet because you've been so focused on dealing with the near Earth orbit stuff?
Yeah, no, we haven't been really heavily involved in an operational sense, if you want to think about it that way, from that perspective in cislunar yet. But the algorithms that we use, the underlying ComSpac solutions are already able to support cislunar. So it's not a question of the technology here. It's straightforward, really, and simple to add that to our processes if we have an interested customer. our tools that we use, our software, and their ability to fuse and process raw observations, data agnostically. And in other words, you know, from any phenomenology, any type, any format, are mature products. And we've already demonstrated that they work well in all orbital regimes. We just haven't seen the customer yet come forward that has driven us, if you will, to be heavily involved yet in cislunar from an operational sense. So the tools and the capabilities are there. Again, you know, we stand ready to do that. We just have to have the right customer set show up to take us in that direction.
So I'm trying to figure out how, so if they don't have a commercial deep space network equivalent or I'm trying to think of the name of the other system, but anyway, a actual ability to track deep space from, you know, geo and beyond, how does commercial sector create solutions? Is there their own network? Is it a data sharing from other resources? Are there sensors on partner company vehicles? I mean, how does that work from the commercial side, since it's not exactly the same architecture, if you will, that the government has had to follow?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's probably going to have to be a mix of all those things that you were saying, right? Obviously, there's not a whole lot of data collection going on yet in cislunar. You can find, you know, obviously a lot of data collection that's being done around Earth orbit, both LEO and GEO. You've got the government doing what it does with the Space Surveillance Network, you know, that's operated by U.S. Space Force, U.S. Space Command. You've got all of that government sensor capability. You've got commercial capabilities out there with assets, you know, in play that are tracking, again, objects in low Earth orbit and deep space orbit. But obviously that goes out to GEO, maybe a little bit beyond GEO, into graveyard orbits and semi-sync orbits and stuff. But today there's not a lot of data collection going on for cislunar. So that's a problem that would have to be, would have to be thought through. And how do you get that data collected in those regions and then brought back into, you know, where we as a company would do the stuff that we do. Again, we're a software company. We're sort of a little bit downstream from data collection. You collect the data and then the data's got to go into some sort of processing and fusion software capability to generate all the orbit solutions for that, right? You need to do the same thing in cislunar. You'd have to bring the data in, feed it into an engine at the enterprise level if you want to maintain a full catalog that can process and fuse all that. So that data collection piece, I don't think has been, it hasn't been solved yet. I don't want to say I don't think it has, because it hasn't. it's something that, you know, together, I think, and we're back to that word balance, right? What is that right mix of government and commercial assets and capabilities that would need to be brought into play to collect the necessary data to then feed into a system that can process and fuse it to generate your SSA solution, if you will, for that area. There's probably a lot of things that could be done. I think we're at maybe the beginning of that data collection piece. Again, I think the processing is there. We've got the processing in hand, the ability to ingest that data and fuse it and generate SSA, but I don't know what that front end data piece looks like yet.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like with the Chinese putting two comm relays in lunar, you know, orbit L2 kind of thing, and the push that they're supposedly going to be deploying assets, not just their exploratory rovers and things, but, and I know this is more of a security program that we're on, but has NASA reached out to ComSpock and other commercial entities that do similar work about the future architecture building for Artemis or some of those civil side things, or is it strictly kind of, you know, hey, it's a good idea, but no one's really planning for it?
Yeah, I can't speak for other commercial entities. I wouldn't be able to say for sure on that. They haven't really reached out to us regarding Artemis or the data collection piece of what you're looking at out there. That's probably a conversation that has to happen, but they have not initiated that with us yet.
Okay. Yeah. So here is the last question. And I think this is one that everybody enjoys. I always do what I call the king for a day questions. And so if you were a space strategy king for a day, what do you think the Space Force and or, well, I'd be specific with the Space Force. What do you think Space Force or U.S. Space Command should do to ensure that we get after space domain awareness, space situational awareness in orbit and cislunar to ensure America can be able to attribute any attacks and other negative activities against us or our commercial partners?
Yeah, that's a who doesn't want to be king for a day, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in meetings with you, and I've heard you opine on a lot of things. So I just thought this would be a great opportunity to give you that opportunity, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure my answer will be all that kingly, but I would say that, you know, I think in general the DoD and, you know, if I focus this more on the national security side of things, I think the DoD and the U.S. Space Force are doing the things that they need to be doing. I think they're starting to put those things, and we talked about this a little bit before. I think they're starting to put those things into play that are doing, you know, what they need to be doing, getting the strategies in play and you know, figuring out how to adjust acquisition mechanisms and so on and so forth. Obviously, the big problem here is time, right? All of these things are they take a while, right? Cultures take a while to change. They don't change those things overnight. You got regulations and all of the stuff that's in play from a you know, PPE process for budgeting for money, for acquisition processes and whatnot. All of that just takes a lot of time. You know, you could say maybe it would have been better if we started this sooner. Let's face it. I mean, the commercial enterprise, commercial space has so rapidly developed. If you go back to the 2015 timeframe, it'd be hard to see where we were, you know, less than a decade later, as fast and rapidly as has all of this has come down the pike. So it's kind of hard to say that you needed to start earlier because it was on us so suddenly, right? And then the same thing with the threat. Now, you know, maybe from a threat perspective, people took their eye off the ball. I don't know, but everybody seems to agree now that the threat is rapidly advancing. You can see all kinds of things, articles and studies and whatnot that are done about it. So really the key here, I think, is exploring integrating commercial solutions faster, right? This is a time and moment that just calls for swifter, more decisive action, you know, bold leadership, if you will. I think we're seeing instances of that here and there, and it just needs to happen faster. It's not a great answer. I will say that, you know, by taking the lead on integrating that commercial technology, if the Space Force really took the lead on integrating that, then they've also got an opportunity, you know, to sort of lead the world in developing standards and governance for SDA and STC, space traffic coordination, to the benefit of all. They can, you know, they can shape those standards to follow sort of their responsible space behaviors that they've outlined. And that's what we all want, right? We want to make sure that we're developing a space regime where operations are being done responsibly, and you know, in accord with the free use and access for peaceful purposes by everybody else. And I think USSF has an opportunity to take the lead in all of that if they're moving faster on this.
So here's another kind of a tag onto that then, though. So I've heard people say that we're still trying to do the kind of, it's quicker, but we're still trying to do the perfect solution versus the good enough when it comes to tracking and sensing and everything that is lumped under the SSA SDA umbrella. Are we going too slow because of that we are shooting for the perfect instead of the good enough? Or
yeah, there's probably some truth in that, Chris, quite honestly. I mean, you run into that situation all the time where, you know, where the perfect becomes the enemy of the good, right? You know, it's an easy thing to say. You know, how do you fix that problem? But I think that definitely does happen to a certain extent. There are, you know, obviously you and I were both working in the Pentagon and stuff like that. You know, you have that mindset that has, hey, I gotta have a requirements document. I gotta make sure that the system that I'm acquiring is gonna meet the necessary requirements and all of that. And so therefore I need to take this on myself. I need to control this. This is kind of on me, the military guy, to manage this and to handle this whole problem set. Right. Again, you know, that mindset I think is starting to change. I seem to remember in one of those strategies now, I can't remember if it was the DoD one or the Space Force one, but it said something about how, you know, we've had this mindset that says that, you know, this is on us and we have to do this. And the Secretary of Defense has said that that mindset is no longer workable. In other words, you know, you've got to expand your thinking. You've got to be out of the box on this. You got to be working with commercial on all of this. And with that is going to come some risk management, right? Commercial solutions mm-hmm. are different from the military. They're not following that specific, you know, here's my set of requirements. Now that I got my requirements, I've got to, you know, acquire a system specifically meeting those requirements. That is sort of old school think. There is still place and capabilities and things that need to be done that way. But there's also this idea that, hey, out of the box thinking is going to mean you're going to start looking at having to do different levels and different types of risk management than you did before. And that's where I think the thing that you're talking about, that sort of perfect becoming the enemy of the good, can get in people's way.
Yeah, I think the other part is you may have good thinking and faster and, you know, and much better ideas, but you still have to cram it into the square peg in the round hole of the process that we have that is congressionally and sometimes policy mandated as part of the oversight of tax dollar uses. And as you said, the commercial sector doesn't really have to deal with that kind of a problem. So they're based on shareholders and things of that sort, obviously depending on if you're a private or a publicly held company. But anyway, we could go forever on this, but I think I better wrap it up by saying I appreciate you, Jim Cooper from ComSpock Corporation, for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on Real Space Strategy.
Well, thank you, Chris. Appreciate the time to have this discussion with you. I think it's all, I love the fact that you're shining a light on this and getting the word out about it. We need more of that. So really appreciate what you're doing here. And thanks for having me on.
No problem. And this is Christopher Stone again for Real Space Strategy. Thanks for joining us.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to NIDS Knowledge, Real Space Strategy. The Real Space Strategy edition is produced under NIDS Podcasting Network, a division of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. NIDS is a 501c3 organization dependent on donations to provide this podcast and bring about awareness of the peacekeeping value of U.S. strength and our national deterrence. You can catch all of our podcasts or provide feedback at thinkdeterrence.com. I want to thank our producer, Kimberly Sherrington, our sponsors, and all the fantastic members of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies for making this podcast possible. Stay tuned next week for another exciting and informative NIDS Knowledge.